The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 32nd Chapter, text number 38, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on January 23rd, 1994, at the Vancouver Temple.
Translation. There are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. Purport. Once one enters into the continuation of material existence, it is very difficult to get out. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes himself, or sends his bona fide representative, and he leaves behind scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so that the living entities hovering in the darkness of nescience may take advantage of the instructions, the saintly persons, and the spiritual masters, and thus be freed. Unless the living entity receives the mercy of the saintly persons, the spiritual master or Krishna, it is not possible for him to get out of the darkness of material existence. By his own endeavor, it is not possible. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Ti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastitari Satarane. Well, Lord Kapila says that when the jiva comes into the material world, he forgets his identity, his purpose. And then it's very, very difficult to get out again. So this forgetting is a willful act. A dictionary defines forget as to lose memory of, but also to neglect, to overlook. So on the one hand, you may say, well, I just don't have the ability to remember something. It's not my fault. But the other meaning is that you do something deliberate to neglect what you know is your purpose and is your goal. There's a word from Greek mythology that comes into English language, lethe. There was in hell or Hades, there was there were two springs of water, and one could produce memory and the other, lethe, produced oblivion or forgetfulness. So that after you died, if you took this lethe, then you would completely forget your mortal life. And this word comes into English and appears in Bhagavad Gita also as lethargy. So Krishna says to Arjuna, give up lethargy and false ego and fight. So forgetfulness is connected to that lethargy, complacence. When you get in the material world, you have to work hard to get out, although you can't do it by your own endeavor. You have to take shelter of Krishna. But if you don't make the effort, then this willful neglect is sinful and causes us to go and on and on and on, so that Kapila Dev says he's unable to understand where his movements will end. And the word movement is gatim. Where is the goal? I don't even know what the goal is. I was thinking of different stories of forgetfulness, mostly from the Vedas. But there's also one from the Greek epics, which I always thought of when I thought of lethe. In the Odyssey, the Odyssey is the story of the Greek military hero, Odysseus. And after becoming victorious in the war, he was supposed to return home. But the whole story is, Odyssey means a voyage. One thing after another happened, and he was being detained from getting home. And sometimes he was captured by a one-eyed giant, Cyclops, then these witches called the sirens, they tried to shipwreck his ship. And he had to always exert himself to fight. And that, his choice was sometimes, it wasn't an easygoing choice. He was sometimes attacked by others and abused, and then sometimes he became the aggressor and he attacked some other persons. And other than this, his choice was oblivion. He could just forget that I'm supposed to be going home. So we can make an analogy that when we're in this material world, we have to do a kind of violence on our anartas and our material attachments. You can't just take it easy and think that you'll be able to achieve that goal. So one time in his Odyssey, Odysseus and his soldiers, they went to one island called the Island of the Lotus Eaters. And there, all the soldiers, they started eating these lotuses. The whole island was very like a paradise with waters and everything beautiful. Forests, fruits. And they particularly liked eating these lotuses. And then they just forgot that they were supposed to be soldiers or traveling home. And they just ate and ate. And even when Odysseus tried to tell them what to do, they said, "Leave us alone, leave us alone." So this is intoxication, which is one of the most sinful sinful activities we're to avoid. Intoxication definitely makes you forget your duty and lulls you into some idea that it's all right. I don't even really remember what I'm supposed to do or who I am, but immediately I've got some kind of... I want forgetfulness. I don't want to remember what I have to do and what the struggle is and what the austerities are. So your choice is oblivion, which is just illusion anyway, the illusion of oblivion, or the fight. As Krishna says to Arjuna, fight without lethargy. There's another story of forgetfulness in the Ramayana. After Sita had been kidnapped, Lord Ram met the monkeys, and the chief was Sugriva. So they made a pact, and Rama agreed that I will kill your great enemy, Bali. And then in return, you and your armies join with me and we'll seek out Sita. And so he agreed. Sugriva agreed. Rama killed Bali. And then he waited for Sugriva and his armies to come forward. And days went by, weeks went by, months went by, months went by. Sugriva never came. So then Ram sent a representative, and he found that Sugriva had forgotten. He had, as a result of Rama's help, he got his kingdom back, and he was enjoying, and he was intoxicated, and just living a real easygoing life. And then I think it was Lakshman who went, said, "What's this? You have promised Rama that you would join him." Oh yeah, that's right, I forgot. And Sugriva was good-hearted. But he had fallen into this despicable condition of intoxication and enjoyment. And he forgot such a a promise to such a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he had to be reminded in the most rude way. So this is the way it is in the material world. You get distracted. So much so that you don't even remember who you are or what you're supposed to do. And you take to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending as everything. The most direct story like that Prabhupada used to tell about how Indra was once punished. He had to leave heaven and for his promiscuous activities. He had to take birth as a hog on earth. So he took up that new identity, which was not his real self, but just a term of punishment. But he forgot his old self and just became a hog and got so involved with living in the pig pen with his sow and their piglets that when the term of punishment was up and Brahma came to take him back, said, Indra, you can return to heaven. And he said, what? Heaven. Don't you remember that you're the king of heaven? I don't remember. And anyway, I can't leave here. I have too many responsibilities. So he had forgotten. I've heard of stories that were supposed to be true stories, like that a man one day left for work, and on his way to work, he was in an accident, and he bumped his head, and all of a sudden suffered complete amnesia, forgot who he was, where he was going, and everything. But just out of survival, he just continued to living, and didn't know what his name was even. So he took a new name, and went to some city, got a job, and then married again, and started a completely different life. And then in the midst of that life, again he bumped his head and remembered everything of the past, and he went back to his other life. So this is you know, clinical phenomena. It really happens. But it's kind of a freaky thing that could rarely happen. But in the normal sense, quote normal, we're all like that. We bunked our heads somewhere along the way. And we don't remember. You're a spirit soul. You're part and parcel of Krishna. What? Who is God? Who is spirit soul? I am John Smith, and I am this body. So this is the amnesia that we suffer from. And it's preventing us from getting out of suffering and returning back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada says it's very difficult to get out. And that's not an accident, because once you get here, Krishna arranges it by his superintendent, Maya, that nobody gets out easily. When you make a certain mistake, like when you go to prison, high security prison, you don't get out until the term is up. So this universe is guarded by Durga. Daivihi yaisa gunamayi mamamaya durat yaya. It's very hard to get out because Durga is guarding it. And we outside the outer space, when you come to the end of the universe, then there's a wall of earth, very, very thick, many, many, many miles. And then beyond that, there's another wall 10 times thicker than that. And there are 7 such walls representing the elements. That's the fort. And we're in this fort and entangled. Some of the ways that we are entangled are by especially sex and money. In one purport, Prabhupada says that it is not unusual for even transcendentalists to be restless in the proximity of these two things. Women, you can say, or women's attraction for men or men's attraction for women, sex life. And he says, many stalwarts have fallen down from the path of transcendental progress due to association with these, because we have been associating with them since time immemorial, and the habit is very hard to give up. I remember Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and one man quoted back Prabhupada. He asked the question, he said, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that everyone is on his path. So this is natural, that we are naturally spiritual and Krishna conscious. So therefore, what is your justification for preaching to us? If it's natural, it didn't have to be preached to us. It's a challenge. So Prabhupada said, actually, in our conditioned state, it is not natural for us to be Krishna conscious. We've taken a different nature. And now it's natural for us to be in Maya and not to be Krishna conscious. It won't just happen. But you need training, you need education to return to your real nature and recover from that forgetfulness. The forgetfulness is not an excuse. If we can't remember what was our past life, or you may not remember sinful activity you did that put you into this situation, but that's tough. You did it. And so whether you remember it or not, you have to suffer the reaction, and you can't get out. From the past mistakes we made, we can't get out. It's too difficult. And there's no use trying to enter oblivion or complaining against God or fighting against God, will be forced again and again. Another time I remember, this is 1966, one young man was challenging Prabhupada in the storefront in New York City. Same attitude of not thinking he had any obligation to surrender to God, surrender to Krishna. So he was making different points. And, Prabhupada was saying about the birth, death, disease, and old age, these are not desirable. So the young man was arguing on every point. And he said, well, I don't think this is so bad. I don't think that's so bad. And then Prabhupada said, what, death? Prabhupada defeated him on every point. And then Prabhupada said, and death? You don't think that death is very nice? You don't want death, do you? So the young man said, well, I don't know. I've never experienced it, death. And Prabhupada said, you have experienced it again and again. But you don't remember. You have forgotten. But that is no excuse. And if you ask, well, why do we forget? It seems like we would remember. It's the nature of the living being to forget all the time. It's not, if you think that this is a cause for doubt in the philosophy, then how could I forget? If I was actually a spiritual soul, I would remember that. And if I had a previous life, I would remember that. So how can I accept this philosophy that says I had all these things going on before, previous karma and a spiritual identity? Why wouldn't I remember? But the simple answer is, it's the very nature of the living entity to forget. You can't even remember what you did a week ago, or a few days ago, or even a day ago. Or you can remember, but with great effort. So that we forget previous life, and even forget who we are, that's pretty understandable. Well, the real thing now is to receive knowledge and overcome memory, get memory back, memory of who I am and of Krishna. So Prabhupada says, for this purpose, Krishna sends his bona fide representatives and leaves scriptures so that Krishna will release us. Krishna will give us the memory again. And on our side, we have to try, then he can release us from this very difficult situation. A pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, he is not bound up. He comes to the material world for different reason, to help others. And so such unbound persons, they can help us who are caught in here, bound and forgetful. They remind us. In one sense, you could describe all of Prabhupada's preaching as like that, to remind us, you are part and parcel of Krishna. You're like the hog who used to be the demigod of heaven. Now hear it. Hear about your actual nature. Hear about your relationship with Krishna and surrender to Krishna. He's reminding us of what is our eternal constitution. So we should be very grateful to such pure devotees in the cyclic succession, and make the effort. God helps those who help themselves. But when we struggle, then they will help us more and more. So I'll use the rest of the time for any discussion. If you have any questions, we can discuss. Mohammad? Yeah. And why? Why did he suddenly remember? Yeah, but Krishna was giving him such a beating, and that he thought, who could be so strong as I am? And then he understood, this must be God, this must be my Rama in another form. So Krishna brought back the memory by an interesting way, but that he would remember again who he is. So. Yeah. You need a touch of Krishna to get out of the well and to remember that what is our higher purpose. Yes?
When we think of remembrance, it's something that we have to come back to. For instance, see if I remember from my past life or maybe the past life, you know, my parents.
Previous experience.
Then I remember the height of my mother and this and that. But then for us to remember Krishna, it's
it seems like it's all completely new. But it's not. It's something that is the original. What does Prabhupada say? That Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition of the mind, but is the original energy of the living being. When by chanting Hare Krishna, it removes the false ego, and we remember our original condition. So you may not have that same sensation that something happens, and all of a sudden you remember your mother or you remember your home, But on the other hand, the scriptures do make that comparison. There's one verse, but Narada Muni says that taking to spiritual life is just like when a traveler, after a long journey, comes home again. And all the inconvenience of the trip is relieved when he sees his home again and fondly remembers everything of home. So this was his... a way of conveying to us spiritual experience. So it may be theoretical now, but the more we get realization, we'll have that sensation that, oh, my beloved worshipable object, Krishna, how could I have forgotten you? I've forgotten you all these lifetimes. I'm so sorry. Now, this feeling that I have now to be serving you, this is right. This is really right. And all that other stuff is wrong. Actually, along with the memory, we have to forget. We've been talking about forgetting as a bad thing, but in the good sense, we have to forget this material attachment, and then we can remember Krishna. So they'll happen simultaneously. We'll forget material identity, and forever, for good, and take our spiritual identity. It will be like. Not the material memories, but it will be a revival of our original nature. Well, that's a difference in faith. Well, maybe in the beginning, but there's also getting some good results. Otherwise, why did he stop smoking? Just on the basic level of enjoyment or interest and peace of mind, he likes to do this rather than to do something else. It's not just faith. It's taking up of something that feels, this is what I really want to do, this is it. And I think we all have some little dawning of something like that, that we couldn't specify it so much. Sometimes people have a dream or something like that, that they're going to meet devotees or something like this is going to happen. Or they have some intimation, even from childhood, that, and it may be really kind of covered over, but what I really would like to do, I'd like to be something spiritual and be worshiping God. But this isn't it, not this religion that I'm going to. Not when going to church, or this doesn't seem to be it. But and then you're given other things to do. You should be an insurance salesman, or you're the son of this mother, and none of it seems very right. When you keep thinking, well, something else is going to happen. This isn't everything, and I'm going to meet some people, or something's going to happen, and then it happens, and then it's this is it. And Krishna says that's picking up from the past life when you did this before. So that experience that devotees have is. Returning to their original consciousness, not just all of a sudden you can explain it by some other mundane reason why people, perfectly normal materialists, take the spiritual life. And the others are just too dull that they still think that they are this body, and they think that we're crazy to have changed. He's changed so much, they say. I can't even recognize him, and he looks different. He shaved his head. He's crazy. But we think, no, this is perfectly right. This is really what I want to do. And everything up to now has been unreal. And the more and more you practice devotional service, then the past gets left like the ship leaves the wake, and it just gets further and further back there, and you just kind of leave it behind and forget it. No thought of going back. Yes? Lack of desire? Yeah. Lack of spiritual desire, and instead having material desire keeps us from making advancement. Even if you go through the motions of practicing Krishna consciousness, but if you still have material desires and practice them at the same time, then you won't go forward. So you don't have strong spiritual desire, and you still have material desire. Just have to focus our desire in the right way. Yes?
Bhakti yoga, we know three different adhikaras, and does every newcomer to bhakti yoga necessarily start out as Kanishtha adhikara? Or I'm pretty sure that there's plenty of great personalities that never have to go through the process of fundamental to postgraduate. So the question is, not everyone has to start it.
Yeah, they could start in. They could start in immediately in some advanced stage of revelation, not having to undergo earlier training, like Sukadeva Goswami. He was just born already advanced, came out of the womb, and just walked off into the forest without any initiation or anything, and was already renounced spiritualist. So that it can be as a result of getting special mercy, kripa, perfection by mercy, kripa siddha. Or some of them, they're sometimes eternal liberated souls come into this world and they immediately manifest or begin to manifest at an advanced stage. But Prabhupada says, the very example you gave, that they don't have to go through an earlier education phase, but they immediately start with postgraduate, that we shouldn't expect that's what we're going to do. He gives the example that sometimes a poet or a writer or he gets the Nobel Prize, and he never went to college or school, and then some very prestigious university like Oxford University gives him an honorary PhD. So that happens, but you can't expect that I will just ordinarily get a PhD like he did. But if we want to advance, we have to go through the regular expected training. Even though there may be exceptions to that. Yeah. Yeah. Just what the Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttama. Three categories of taste? I'm not sure what those are. Well, that's a big subject, more than I could cover right now. Starts with faith, Ado Shraddha. Something on this topic? Yes, Gandhari. To worship Radha Krishna? Yes, yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Unless you are free from sinful life, you cannot practice Krishna consciousness. But in this age, because we're so sinful, it would be very difficult for anyone to take the Krishna consciousness at all if he first has to purify himself by the standard practices. So Lord Chaitanya has given special mercy that anyone just chants Hare Krishna and gives up the sinful activities, then they're immediately eligible. So the eligibility has been changed. Sure? That's what the meaning of Lord Chaitanya is. He changed the rules. The rules used to be very difficult, and what Lord Chaitanya is teaching, that wasn't given in any case, even to someone who followed all the rules and purified themselves. They still couldn't expect to get Krishna prema. But now, all you have to do is give up sinful activity, chant Hare Krishna, and you can get Krishna prema. Namo Mahabharanaya, Krishna prema pradayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya, namane Gaura Trishenama. So we praise Lord Chaitanya as most magnanimous person to accept even Jaghai and Madhais, so long as they give up sinful activities, take to Krishna consciousness. All right, I think I'll stop here. One more. And what is that? God. And what is that that we have forgotten? The reporter said, it is God. He said, you say so many things that you are God, there is no God. This is all rascaldom. I have come to teach you that. He has come to bring us home, back to Godhead, by ending our forgetfulness and reviving our memory of our original Krishna consciousness, which is Satchidananda Vigraha. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.